Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. This is our Thanksgiving blessing, woof, and I'm cahooting with longtime ally, fellow water dragon, Deborah Felmuth, she of the Camel Bells.
Ahlan Habibti.
And let's be the bomb, B-A-L-M. You know, we are here brewing poison. Park. It's the caravan. It's the caravan is arriving. It's the caravan of our past mentors. And since you said the wonderful thing, Deborah Felmuth, that I'm going to let you say again, too, but it's so perfect for now because the sun, our woofiness, is in Sagittarius, long journeys, the caravan, in the eighth house of ancestral download, and exactly trined, it's five Sagittarius, to Chiron, rising in the east right now in the Bay Area, at five Aries, he, the mentor. So truly, the caravan of our past mentors is arriving. And I know you've said this, and I've quoted you so many times, but I love it so much about reversing the past and the present and the future.
Well, yes, really, it is a brilliant and beautiful phenomenon to think of yourself in the lineage, in the line of past, future, present. Everything is now. Everything is happening. Everything is right here. But if we say something happened in our past, our tendency is to sort of wave our hand maybe behind our heads. And if we say something's in the future, we point out in front of our faces as if it was somewhere out there that we were going. Whereas in Arabic, it's precisely the opposite. And waving your hand behind your head means that's what you can't yet see. It's the future. It's you don't quite have it yet. But what is in front of you is the caravan of your ancestors whom you follow and out of which your future is crafted. Because you follow in the footsteps of these mentors, these parts of your very being, from your bones to your genome to your microbiome to every fiber of your being. Yeah.
So they are here. So everybody, Thanksgiving, whether you're alone or have the great good luck to be with animals or even a few humans or whatever one's circumstance, you know, to lay a place at the table for the ancestors, known and unknown. So Thanksgiving, right, not just a Hallmark card of horror, right, well, there is that problematic thing, but always many stories. Thanksgiving is astrologically timed. It is always the first Thursday, Thor's day, Jupiter's day, after the sun enters Sagittarius, Jupiter's sign. And Thursday has always been in many traditions, and certainly in Sufi tradition, you know, it's Jupiter. It is the night of Mushkil Gusha. It is the remover of all difficulties. And for 24 years, we've been convening on Thursday afternoon. And in the tale of Mushkil Gusha, which I won't tell the whole thing right now, but it's crucial. It says to all of us, if you tell the story of Mushkil Gusha or give a gift in the name of Mushkil Gusha, then the people who are in real need will always find their way. And in the story, the woodcutter has had great blessing and he took a vow to always remember Thursday evenings and tell the story of Mushkil Gusha so that those in need would always find their way. But as is the way of men, he forgot and terrible things happened and he was imprisoned in the town square when he overhears a man saying that it was Thursday afternoon around 2. And the woodcutter thinks, oh, soon it will be the evening of Mushkil Gusha, the remover of all difficulties, and I have forgotten to commemorate him for so many days. No sooner did that thought come into his mind than a charitable man passing by tossed him a tiny coin, to which the woodcutter said, good sir, you have given me money which is of no use to me. If, however, your kindness could extend, you know, to buying one or two dates and sitting and eating them with me and listening to my story, I would be completely grateful. And so he listens to the long woodcutter's amazing, marvelous story, and the kind stranger says, "I think you must be mad." But he was a good person, and when he went home, he discovered that all his problems had disappeared. And that made him start to think a great deal about Mushkilgusha, but he leaves our story here. There we go. So it is that. It's a time of blessing, you know, and we know that luck, study at Cambridge University, kind of proved that luck increases when we run on the fuel of curiosity and generosity. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, I just found this. Here, let me buy you this gift. Oh, you gave me a gift. Reciprocal blessing. Oh, and then the story unfolds. So a toast, everybody, all of us convening, you know, for blessings and toasts, you know, a toast to luck. Mm. So, yes, I have my lucky election candle burning here that I have dressed with High John the Conqueror oil, that we may have wisdom come into all of our hearts and even unto our leadership. I have fiery wall of protection oil because we're all going to need that. I have fast luck oil, because what other kind of luck is there? Now, we want fast luck now. And and money oil, just so that all of us may be blessed with windfalls of wherewithal, whatever it is we need.
That's a beautiful blessing. Ah. Beautiful. And what a beautiful thing it is to be asked to tell your story. That's the part of that story of say his name again.
Mushkilgusha. The remover of all difficulties. He's kind of like Ganesh. He's related to the elephant that we're going to be bringing in. Yeah.
Very much like Ganesh. In fact, I have a small Ganesh in my hand right now as you speak, which is wonderful because you couldn't have known that. But here he is, remover of all obstacles and magnificent, you know, with his small perch on a rat there. And the thing about being asked to tell your story, though, is so important. I want always that we should, I want to raise a toast that we should always ask each other, tell me your story. Tell me, how did it happen? Where were you when that happened? What was it like? What happened to you next? What did you do? What did you say? It's I think, one of the most important gifts we can give each other. It's a blessing in itself to be able to listen to another story.
And that is why when we first met in Syria, and the way I put it is the great luck, the great good fortune that you, Deborah, guiding through Syria that you know and love so well, I say it's like putting flippers on to go into the ocean. You are like flippers to me, Deborah, translate into that cultural realm. And your cross-pollinating of so many friends and your Bedouin friends, and part a blessing for America, a blessing for this country, that it may emerge from this cauldron with altruism, and a Bedouin blessing. If we were to be a little more Bedouin, we would greet refugees as pilgrims, and we would say, "Oh, welcome! You have traveled so far. You have endured so much. You must have so many stories, and they must be the stories that we most need to hear. Please." Come in.
Ay-wallah. This is exactly the truth. And, of course, you remember when we were out in the desert and we saw Bedouins who would say to us, "Haulu, haulu, 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 haulu," which literally means change your direction, come toward me. If you were headed, you know, down the road, they would say, "La haulu, stop here and visit with us a while and partake of our hospitality." And there, as you know, this graciousness of sharing whatever little becomes an abundance when it is shared with the guest. It is already increased in its value and its nourishment, its quality, because you are giving it away. Again, give the gift. There's the restaurant.
And these moments of great marvel, as we were driving and approaching a windswept, cold Bedouin village, but they had beehive huts, and we wanted to see them because they are genius architecture and last forever. And you, Deborah, said, "Well, we'll just knock on any door." I'm like, "Really? You know, the only Westerner is the only car." And you go, "No, you'll see, right?" And I remember we knocked on a door, and this beautiful woman holding many children stares warily out the door and then goes, "Oh, strangers, how wonderful.
Exactly.
Right there, we want that. We want that. And then, you know, can I give you? No, we just want to see this. And the whole village turned out and we had all kinds of, yeah, but again, strangers, how wonderful. And her face lit up with delight, right? So what is your story? Tell me your story. And, you know, wonderful Susan Shannon, who ran the Tibetan Buddhist ministry in San Quentin for so long and still somewhat. But she said she was honored for many of her friends who were inmates, you know, to be the first person that they told their story to. And mm-hmm. she said, right, and here we're going to go to the ancestors. She said, because everyone's story starts long, long ago, before they were born. All of their circumstances, long, long, long ago. And in our own, you know, political, mythological work, I do keep honoring Dion Fortune, a spirit auntie ancestor, with her work in World War II to protect Britain from the Nazi invasion, working with all the ritualists. But she said, people keep asking me, this is 1941, when will the war end? And she says, can't tell you when. We'll tell you how. It will end when the conditions that gave rise to it are resolved. Mm-hmm. We go, okay. So we might... all of that deep composting, because what great and horrible good fortune that we have outsourced until now leadership to a gigantic buffoon cartoon grotesquery of the worst aspects of American, you know, vulgar, murderous cruelty. All right. How fortunate that it's all right there. It doesn't begin there, you know, but it is a huge thing going, and how shall we dissolve this spell and what gave rise to it? There we go. So, kind of,
may it be a gift that it has been so fully exposed,
yes,
that it will never, ever, ever again be able to manifest in a position of power.
Right. So, and I think a great opportunity, again, Trickster likes against all odds, but let us, you know, toasting on Thanksgiving with reciprocal blessing, that we compost the template of despotism so that it is completely out of, composted out of the repertoire of humanity. Again, it's against all odds, but let's go for it. You know, going, right, may this vulgar apparition be one that we compost that outsourcing to tyranny, all of, and so on. There's a toast, right? If you're drinking anything, yes, that we compost the whole template of despotism in all the sneaky ways, you know, that it can, you know, creep into our little micro way of relating. But yes,
right, it may no longer become available to us.
Right, right.
It is not one of the possibilities.
Where did I put that despot act? I knew I put it somewhere. Oh, well, okay. Right, no, it's gone. There we go. And, you know, and the power of toasting, and it's ancient and blessing. You know, we're all in this thing together. So the I Ching... which was very useful when the Trump team was inaugurated or faux inaugurated. I asked the I Ching, going, "What is this thing?" I've only gotten this once. You know, it said, "This is the, you know, worst form of black magic. It's when five venomous creatures are put in a jar until one of them kills and eats the others." I'm like, That's pretty good, I Ching. That's pretty good, I Ching. So I go, what now? What now for us Thanksgiving? And it says 16, you, enthusiasm, riding the elephant. We go, okay, this is building up our ability to respond directly. Remember, to react to anything is not free. To cultivate an ever-expanding repertoire of responses is spiraling out of polarity. There we go, which... you know, which is to ally ourselves with nature's evolutionary genius. So, yeah. So, respond directly, joyously, spontaneously, and effectively to any situation. The process is imaged by a child riding on an elephant, combining spontaneity with great power and grace in an emblem of a paradise state prior to the restrictions of culture. And it says, where's the thing about dangerous people here? Somewhere. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, so the scholar says, this is a time and a meal and a blessing, and here we all are, accumulated energy bounding forth as a sudden call to action. Yeah, we want to replenish and rouse ourselves. There's much to be done here. Thunder comes from the earth impetuously. Reimagine the situation. Humbly amass a great store of things to provide for what comes. Then you don't have to worry. Double the gates and establish the watch so you are ready for violent visitors. Okay, all right, there, all right, that's good. And the way to do that, to be prepared for violent visitors, is through delight and music. That's good.
That's very good, very good.
The exalted, the highest does, spirit.
This does have the hint of, yes, praise Allah, but tether your camel first. I mean, this has all the aspects of preparedness. Preparedness. Make sure that you are making ready, even if it should be violent visitors. You know,
right.
Even if it, whatever it is, make sure that you are ready. Your stores are full, and you also have open doors for your neighbors and a little trickster, so that just in case there is evil doing near you, you can with a compliment or a laugh or something trip up what would have been.
And certainly what's your story, but also like, oh, violent visitors, here, we will serve you your tea outside. And perhaps it will be a psilocybe tea that you may cultivate, you may calm down and cultivate curiosity, confidence, and kindness. You know, may it be so, right? And that's why in journeying through the underworld, remember that the counsel was always, you know, authenticity is your greatest protection. And asking stories, but it is going to, the I Ching is going to guide us back to ancestors, where I will hand it also to yourself. But it says, this is the way heaven and earth work together, how they create time and order the seasons. The old wise people acted like this. They could respond immediately from their store of power to punish what was clearly wrong, unless the people accepted them. Yes, accountability. Accountability is the friend of all beings. And it says, the inner gathering of energy allows immediate response to an outer call for action. So, good enough. Thus saith the I Ching. Thank you very much, I Ching, for chiming in there. But then, just a little bit of our cahooting now. I do love the midheaven overhead, which is our antenna into the collective, and its image is a party of campers packing their canoe at twilight, the ability to navigate dark water. We go, ooh, that's true.
That one.
That's true. But riding the elephant, the elephant will fit in the canoe. We can do this. We can work with all these metaphors. But you perhaps have the Mirabai poem about.
I do. This is the Mirabai moment, and because it is really a perfect. Yes, Mirabai of. Late 15th century, early 16th century saint from Gujarat in India. And she says in this poem, the colors of the dark one have penetrated Mira's body, all the other colors washed out. Making love with the dark one and eating little, these are my pearls and my carnelians. Meditation beads and the forehead streak. These are my scarves and my rings. That's enough feminine wiles for me. My teacher taught me this. Approve me or disapprove me, I praise the mountain energy night and day. I take the path that ecstatic human beings have taken for centuries. I don't steal money. I don't hit anyone. What will you charge me with? I have felt the swaying of the elephant's shoulders. And now you want me to climb on a jackass? Try to be serious.
Right. And so she's to all spicy women, and the moon is in Aries right now, because Mirabai was a heretic like so many of us here. Because remember, heretic was a term of praise. Early, right, before the reality police came in, because it means free thinker and cross-pollinating agent. So she was a heretic, and her husband died, and she was supposed to marry her brother-in-law. And she's like, no, I don't think so. And then I also like that apparently, truly, they were the relatives, and they sent her a poisonous snake, and she goes, you sent me a venomous snake, and I wear it as a necklace. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Right, again, these are qualities we want. That's right, the spicy thing. But so the moon right now, for all of us, Thanksgiving moon, is at 27 plus Aries, woofy women, woofy women. And that's where the moon was exactly by degree when Kamala Harris was born. And let's praise mm-hmm. her Mirabai in her ancestry, right? We have Jamaican and Indian, all the ancestors coming forth. We are more than just our personal befoibled modern selves. And that's part of what we get to call in at our feasting. The image for 27 plus Aries is a large audience for a woman who liberates them from their expectations. So a toast of support and protection for all woofy women. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, may the Inquisition be composted, right? All of its sneaky things, anything that would make us cringe. And we do want to proclaim, you know, yeah, the Inquisition still, you know, present somewhat, but it's in its last flailing, still dangerous ways, but ollie income free. Everybody out, you know, everybody who, because think of the Inquisition throughout time, the many, but the primary ones, yes, targeted witchy women, but the primary target, as Max Dashew guides us, was knowledgeable women and calm weaving good wizard guys. So knowledgeable, I mean, we'd all be dead. But if we think of what happened to our ancestors, you know, just medium far back, many generations of woofy women either died or went into a kind of witness relocation program and then mm-hmm. forgot that they did. You know, mm-hmm. Going, who is this? Who is this man I'm married to? What is this house? What is this beautiful? Anyway, and then so we go. All right, everybody out now. Come on out. Mm-hmm. We want everybody. Mm-hmm. So yes, a toast of support and protection, and we are willing to be astute and Jupiter, jovial, supportive, generous, curious, working with everything, as Wendell Berry says, being jaunty while fully informed. There we go. Mm-hmm. So did you want to?
I do.
Yes, exactly.
You've said so many things that my heart, you know, it jumps and wants to dance and spiral further and further. I mean, the first being the idea of grandmothers. Earlier on, you said, you know, we actually have been around for a long, long time. And I want to say to each and every one of us who is hopefully with at least some family or friends that we call our families of choice on this Thanksgiving, that we, each and every one of us, have literally in the physical realm been around within our grandmothers, because we were actually in our mothers when our mothers were eggs in our grandmother's womb. So if we look embryologically, we can draw a truly physical line, which I find sort of stunning to think, oh, I was there with that grandmother in my mother before my mother was born, which is quite amazing. So the blessing of the long hair of all of our grandmothers and to their memory. But the next thing I want to bring in is the, you mentioned Thanksgiving being an astrologically timed holiday, not just a Hallmark holiday. And in Chinese medicine, of course, the season of autumn is the season of metal. And so the metal element is mineral. And mineral is what our bones are made of. And our bones are also the memory that we hold of ancestry. Literally. And we say it, we've got it in our language. We say, I can feel it in my bones. You know, I know it in my bones. And not for any intellectual, there's no cortical reasoning here. It's just, I know it. So autumn is this time of year when we're pulling everything together. We're gathering in all of our abundant harvest, we hope, and we're sharing it, we hope. And we are also making sure that we're in this preparedness that you spoke of earlier as well. And another thing about the metal element is that it's the conductor. And we usually think of metal as the conductor of electricity, but it's the conductor of water, because water, as it runs down mountains, runs through mineral channels, basically rocky streams, where soil is predominant, then water just soaks. It just goes down in. But where it runs is where there's mineral element. And so there's this great communicating element of metal where it is able to channel. It can channel electricity, it can channel water, it can channel thought, really. And again, if we look at the organs of Chinese medicine that relate to the element of metal, you have lungs. And lungs are the receiver of breath. And we breathe not because we work at it, but because our cells desire it. Our cells desire it. Every single cell in our bodies needs to breathe. And so therefore, our lungs, the metal element organ, are simply requiring it, because they are the communicator to every cell in the body. How is oxygen going to get there? It's going to get through there through the bloodstream. And so all of these metal element aspects, autumn, lung, even the color white, they say, is of the metal element, are for the ancestors the place where they dwell, and that's the West. And right now I have a small altar where I've got many pictures of people whom I've known who've been deceased, yes, who've died recently or a long time ago. So it's lovely that I feel them all present, even though many of them lived in centuries where they could not have known each other. So it's a beautiful thing. And in front of them, I have a cup of water. I have a candle, all these things to communicate, to honor. Water especially, I think it's important to give to the ancestors.
And you have yes.
No, go ahead. What was your question?
But you have a remember song, right?
Oh, I do. This return. Let me see if I can just pick up my drum here. Return again, return again, return to the land of your soul. Return to who you are, return to what you are. Return to where you are, born and reborn again. Return again, return again, return to the land of your soul. Yeah, returning, remembering. Yeah, that's one blessing that I would give, which is that we always remember to welcome into our lives everything that comes. And that reminds me, actually, can I read a poem? It's the welcoming poem, The Guest House by Rumi.
Sure.
This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of all of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. be grateful for whoever comes, because each guide has been sent as a guide from beyond.
Ah, and we turn to our ancestor Abraham Lincoln, befoibled as all are we all, but many great contributions, right? We honor the good and compost it, who said, we are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic chords of memory will swell when again touched by the better angels of our nature.
Wow.
Now, a toast to the better angels of our nature. And as he said, with malice towards none and charity to all. These qualities we want to welcome into our collective mind, into our collective mind. And another wonderful quote from Abraham Lincoln, I care not for any man's religion whose dog and cat are not the better for it. And I know that there are people who are gathering with friends, and there are also many people, hello, who may be without other humans, but that is not to be without community. And I can remember at sad, difficult moments of underworld journeying, I'm like, oh, ooh. And I have many generations of little house wrens that have set up housekeeping and had babies over the years. And right when I was feeling so bleak, all the six little fledglings hopped onto a branch outside my window going, hi, we like you. I'm like, that is great. That's great. That's
beautiful.
Exactly what I needed. That's so wonderful. And, you know, and again, our raven allies. So looking for the augury, when we think we're alone, then nature's emissaries, you know, the bird, the thing, the whatever. And I we do want to bring in raven, all our trickster beings, all our trickster allies, as we define community in the largest and most inclusive sense. And a toast that humans may humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius. Yes, sorry, guy. So this is one of my favorite things. You'll have to imagine it, but William Kittredge wrote it about this. He said, it's a raven rattle from the Tsimshian Indians. It's a percussive musical instrument used in elaborate ceremonial dances, a simple rattle like the ones we all shook in childhood. Isn't it interesting that we give babies little trance-inducing things? Shake a, okay. Except that this one is carved into the form of a mythological raven caught in the act of stealing the sun back from captivity. This is all we're diving for the winter solstice, this particular winter solstice, also, right, is the birth of the sun returns. And the trickster born in each one of our hearts, the King Arthur, the raven, the High John the Conqueror, the feisty women ancestors, you know, so this one is carved in the form of a mythological raven caught in the act of stealing the sun back from captivity, carrying the little red ball of the sun in his mouth, preparing to spit it home into the heavens again. That's a striking idea, but not half so remarkable as the beings we see riding on the raven, a human figure reclining back in a posture of sexual openness, and a frog crouching over as if preparing to mount, and their tongues, or tongue, red and slender and arcing. It's a single tongue, and a most remarkable thing as it reaches from human to frog and frog to human. It's all the same in this vision, in which we share tongues with the animals in some perfect sexuality, while our trickster raven redeploys the sun, as in Raven Brought the Light. The unknown person who made that rattle is a glory to our species. See, that raven rattle says, this is how we are, inextricably one with everything, however tricked, riding, in fact, on the back of trickiness itself.
Wow.
Wow.
That is so good.
It's so good. And you can do a search and find a raven rattle with a human lying back in sexual openness and a frog mounting it, and they're sharing one tongue. Anyway, the way he puts it, I just have to read that last line again, because see, that raven rattle says, this is how we are, inextricably one with everything, however tricked, riding, in fact, on the back of trickiness itself.
They go, yeah.
Whoa. And our shape-shifting capacity, Granny Weatherwax, great character in Terry Pratchett's novels, also brings a blessing to our Thanksgiving, and many wonderful things about her. But she would say, oh, owl, manners are important. Oh, owl, may I ride with you inside your mind tonight?
Mm.
Yes, since you ask so politely, you may. And so she would. And these are experimental times to open up our capacity. And if we seem alone, the compelling illusion of alone, then surely there's a bird or a thing, or the crows have returned to my neighborhood. It's so exciting. I always go, it's a caucus, because they went away for so long and now they're back. And we go, So there is, you know, call and response, you know, and again, this composting of corruption and tyranny and despotism. Yes, there's work to be done, and, you know, keeping vigil. But the auguries with which to collaborate, because in keeping with your guiding us to shift our perspective that the past is in front of us and the future invisible and back of us, you know, what is the desirable future we want to conjure? And the auguries for inauguration, we get that word from the augur, who would read nature's patterns whereby she would reveal the appropriate, or the best we can do at the moment, human, and then they would be inaugurated. So as we dive, we're at the dark of the year, it's Thanksgiving, the dark of the year, again, maintaining, you know, joy and inner happiness as things are darker outside, but the dark is also the replenishing, beautiful dark from which the mystery is born. And when Jupiter and Saturn conjoin on the winter solstice, and as close together, some say, so as to look like one star, and they haven't been that close. They come together every 20 years, but they haven't been that close since 1311, some say.
Wow.
Not that we're fetishizing anything, but they create a template for the next stage of culture, and they will be trining Uranus and Taurus, the mind of nature. The mind of nature is eager to cahoot with us. Again, biomimicry, it's the sine qua non, humans humbly cooperating. And there's a spicy blessing we might want to send forth to everybody in gatherings, or by yourself with animals around, or ancestors, set a place for ancestors at the table, all those things, because we have Venus in Scorpio. Oh, spicy, passionate, intense, at a deep, deep delving degree, opposite Uranus, right? So it is, you know, a toast. May all our relationships be spicy and equal and dedicated to positive intrigue, that we may have an abundance of accomplices, trusted allies with a shared vision who want to do good, that we convene maybe not the round table, maybe not Arthur's round table, but the oval table, perhaps, you know. So it is very witty, this spicy on Thanksgiving Day, Venus opposite Uranus. So if you're with people you love, how wonderful. If you're alone, you're not really. And if you couldn't make it to meet with relatives you don't like, how wonderful that is too. There we go. Venus, Uranus, freedom gained through loss. You can eat hot dogs over a fire. You can do anything. But it is about autonomy. And that takes us back to the whole crucial intimacy with nature as well. You know, and the tales we won't tell fully, because it's a rich banquet, but that are humming around us, you know, and we may be priming the pump of all of us for critique and blessing. But at the heart of the Arthurian legends, the Grail legend, and December 21st is King Arthur's birthday, and all of that, but is the crucial, you know, what do women want most? I won't do a spoiler by saying it, but it's the tale of Dame Ragnall. What do women want most in all the world, right? And it's also nature. Nature, the king must wed the land. Humans must wed themselves to again humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius, and that's very present. But also, I do love the psychological study that said to our brains, visible and invisible are equally real. I love that. Our brains are democratic. If we imagine an ancestor at our table, to our brains, that is just as real as having a cup of tea with a good friend. You know, and so no one need be alone, you know, and there can be mystery and wonder. I wonder who wants to come sit at my table, you know.
Fantastic. We should invite many, 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 many invisible allies to our table.
Did you want to invite Seamus Heaney?
Oh, I'd love to invite Seamus Heaney because there is a poem that is, well, I believe it is just appropriate to our democracy. Yes, a nod to Honest Abe here at the same time, that this should not perish. So, Seamus Heaney, The Republic of Conscience. When I landed in the Republic of Conscience, it was so noiseless when the engine stopped, I could hear a curlew high above the runway. At immigration, the clerk was an old man who produced a wallet from his homespun coat and showed me a photograph of his grandfather. The woman in customs asked me to declare the words of our traditional cures and charms to heal dumbness and avert the evil eye. Fog is a dreaded omen there, but lightning spells universal good, and parents hang swaddled infants in trees during thunderstorms. Salt is their most precious mineral, and seashells are held in the ear during births and funerals. The base of all pigments is seawater. The sacred symbol is a stylized boat. The sail is an ear, the mast a sloping pen, the hull a mouth shape, the keel an open eye. At their inauguration, public leaders must swear to uphold unwritten law and weep to atone for their presumption to hold office, and to affirm their faith that all life sprang from salt in tears which the sky god wept after he dreamt his solitude was endless. I came back from that frugal republic with my two arms the one length, the custom woman having insisted my allowance was myself. The old man rose and gazed into my face and said that was official recognition, that I was now a dual citizen. He therefore desired me when I got home to consider myself a representative and to speak on their behalf in my own tongue. Their embassies, he said, were everywhere, but operated independently, and no ambassador would ever be relieved. Yeah, the Republic of Conscience. What a beautiful place.
Yeah, no, that's right. We're invoking again, because it's a time when dreams and poetry and music are eager to be invited into incarnational actuality. There we go. And Joe Biden quoted Seamus Heaney. He is Celtic. The Irish are wild about him. And I would implore us fellow progressives to compost vituperative harumphitude, to be fully aware, but to remember always, you know, we have our magic mirror. The secular part of us necessarily holds up a mirror and goes, look, it sucks in detail. Then, with a wave of the paw, turns the mirror into a window, vision, but look how beautiful it could be. And then with another wave of the hand, turns it into a door. Let's go, right? So the whole thing is that the mirror is liberating only when wedded to the window and the door. Otherwise, you know, to critique without blessing is complicitous with tyranny, I like to say. So, you know, again, a multitude, multiple levels. So, right, to the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Alexandria Ocasio, Bernie, everything part of our dream, our dream, you know, may it go well, may it go well. And I did, you know, more than like, appreciate rewatching Black Panther when beautiful, wonderful, kind actor, you'll remind me his name.
Bose Chadwick. Bose Chadwick.
Yes, thank you. Such a beautiful, and the movie was so him, because remember, before he is inaugurated, he drinks this purple liquid, basically ibogaine, all right, which is an African tradition, that the leader before inauguration would drink ibogaine, which he does in the movie, and go to the ancestor realm, right, for guidance and purity, and to see all the shadow in his heart. And that was something that was really done. We go, yeah, let's bring that back. That's I think that's a good idea, you know, that the leader see his befoibement and see the future and all of those things, and take the sacred. Well, but really, here's the way for all of us. The conjoining of Saturn and Jupiter at zero Aquarius is we're electing community, we're electing mutual aid, you know, and this is part of our sacramental, you know, kinship to which we are moving. And then just I did want to bring up our, you know, and to and fro, Deborah, too, our honoring of Eris, goddess of disruption, because she is conjoined Mars. She's way out in the Kuiper Belt, right beyond Pluto. But anything for which we have a name, we have a relationship and an energetic intimacy. It's an available part of our palette with which to paint reality. We go, okay, Eris, that's good. Goddess of disruption in Aries for all of us. But her image right now is, you know, curtains blown inward in the shape of a cornucopia. There's a Thanksgiving image, letting in fresh air. Everybody open the window and let in fresh air, literally and metaphorically. You know, everything, all we need to do with play is to add a dedication. You know, by the stirring of this soup, may, you know, sane reverence waft into the world. By the doing whatever the thing is, you know, just to play, this is our indigenous mind, you know, that goes back into all of our ancestral traditions. We do love that. So, blessings of disruption, right? I mean, I'll start us off, but if you think of anything, Deborah, and everybody at home too, you know, I do want to cloak them with more animals and things, but here's the dry bones, you know, blessings of disruption, you know, may anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and in the fullness of time be an occasion for mirth. Yes. May we ally with the genius of nature to disrupt anything ill-mannered to our kin. Right? You know, again, the power of the Arctic, may the Arctic be protected by its intelligence and our willingness to humbly cooperate with it as well. May corruption be composted into nutrient for democracy. There we go, however we want to go with those things.
You're on a roll. But I say also, all bows and arrows, may they become musical instruments. May all instruments of weapons of war be turned into vibrational artwork. Maybe we compost all that harumphitude, as you call it, that has birthed all of this divisiveness, and make a weaving out of it, so that we weave something together rather than try to tear it apart. May we weave a cloak of invisibility when it is necessary, and sometimes it is. A cloak of invisibility is a good metaphorical item to have in our wardrobe, so that we might absolutely go in to places where we think, wow, I might not be like these people or think like these people, but I can become one with these people. In other words, penetrate in disguise in order to then emerge and as something that is like, not unlike, to be with, to work with.
Now, the cloak of invisibility is very good. It's also like the cloak of the soothsayer, which means truthsayer, saying the truth, has everything to do with timing and motivation, when and why. You know, and may all of our dedicated purposes be, you know, we aspire, we're all befoibled, you know, and that's why we have friends and accomplices to go, hey, out of line, you know, and that's perfectly wonderful. Yes, whatever the thought was, it'll come back. Oh, I know. That everything can be imprisoning or liberating, you know. And may our dedication be that we be agents of liberating trickster, that we be better than ourselves. How wonderful. And to have the cloak of invisibility is a grand and beautiful thing. and a vision. You know, I, even talking to, you know, military industrial kinds of guys, you know, with enough little spiraling story to and fro, mm-hmm. you know, we can get to the point going, the only solution to terrorism is a wonderful life for all children. And mm-hmm. then right after that, a wonderful life for the children of all species. Mm-hmm. It hums in every human heart, that desire. It really does. Mm-hmm. So we're on our way out, oh, wonderful Sister Deborah Falmouth, and thank you, KBFA Board Ops and everything. But in the last, and we're going to go in a moment to our friend Timothy Francis' song with his great singers as well. But it's a great blessing, and it's a good time to get up and dance to this and animate the blessing. Is there any last little thing that you would like to say, Deborah, before we head into...
That it is good to be thankful. Yes, it is good to be thankful. It is good to be thankful in the morning when we rise. It is good to be thankful for the air that we breathe and for the friends and family that we have, for the abundance of food, for all that it is that we are blessed with on this day of Thanksgiving. We give thanks for every day in every year and every species and every rock, tree, mineral, water, stream, mountain.
Balance. Yes. And the wonderful 96-year-old Palestinian woman in the Palestinian refugee camp that we met who said, I don't want you progressive people coming with your gloom, deriving status from our suffering. We want joy and theater and music. And we go, absolutely. But what a good idea that is. And to spiral that forth.
And as my grandmother used to say, bless your heart.
Bless your heart. That's the Southern thing that you can go. And they're complete dingbats, bless their hearts. That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, because we want to be spicy. And just a little bit of Dorothy Parker. She said, every morning I get up and brush my teeth and sharpen my tongue. Right. Because we don't want to be nice, but we do want to be respectful, but playful and spicy. May everyone have a spicy and liberating tongue. Excellent. Okay, we're having too much fun now there. And so off we go, team, into our Deborah's and my friend Timothy Francis, and a good song to toast, to bless, and to dance to. Thank you, team. Exactly. Here we go.
Yeah. free again. Feels so good to be 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 free again. Well, everybody's chains came off.
Everybody's chains came off.
All the prison doors are swung open. Everybody's chains came off.
Feel so good to be free. I feel so good to be free.
I feel so good.